Question number two. Why does God not come to earth? This is a very simple question. I think it was a question that was submitted by a younger person by the handwriting that I noticed on the question. But the question is simply this. Why does God not come to earth? And I think that's a very profound question, a very deep question, and a question that the Bible does address. And there's several different points of view that you can look at this question from, so I'm just going to pursue several of them. I don't know that I'll exhaust it, but I'm certainly going to look at it from several different ways. Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that God has certainly come to the earth in the past. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says that God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And so after God created the earth, it was his intention to be with man, to be on the earth with man, and have fellowship with man. And he walked in the Garden of Eden with man in the cool of the day, the text says. And so God did come to the earth in the past. But that's not the only time God came to earth. In fact, if you turn over to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says that the Lord appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre. And so there, God appeared to Abraham, and he walked the earth in talking to Abraham. And he was warning Abraham about the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah there in that chapter. And so he visited Abraham. If you keep reading throughout the Old Testament, and sometime we may do this, just look at all of these examples of the Lord coming to the earth and doing things on the earth. But he appears to Joshua before Joshua enters into the land of Canaan. He appears there as the captain of the Lord of hosts. Okay. And so God appears to Joshua at a certain time. He appears to Moses in the burning bush. And he's trying to motivate Moses, you know, to go down to Egypt and to lead his people out of captivity. So God has come to earth many times to visit people. And the Bible is a history of God's working with man and God's intervention in the world. And so that this book is about God. And it's a book about what God has done for us. And so it's a fantastic book. And if you read this book and it's talking to us about God, that's who the main character is in the Bible. So, God has come to earth several times. But the culmination of God coming to earth occurred in the person of Jesus. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the angel says to Mary, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God." And so being the Son of God, Jesus is God. And so he is God with us, and he is the ultimate fulfillment of God's desire to be with his creation and to walk among his creation as man. To know what it's like to be a man all the way from conception to death. And so Jesus was God. And so God came to the earth and he walked among us and he lived an entire life as man, understanding what it meant to be a man. So he is the ultimate, that is Jesus, is the ultimate fulfillment of God's desire to be with his creation and to walk among them. In John chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus said to Thomas, when Thomas said, "Show us the Father, and it will suffice us." Here was Jesus' answer to that. "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father." And how do you say, "Show us the Father"? You see, Jesus is God, and he really shows us who God is in his person. In fact, he's the only one who can do it. In John chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So if you want to know who God is, if you really want to have a relationship with God and you want to come to learn about him, Jesus is the way. We've got to study about Jesus. We've got to learn about him because he is the one who is in the bosom of the Father. He is the one who has that close relationship with the Father, who can tell us who the Father is. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And so Jesus reveals to us who God is because he is God in the flesh. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Paul tells us in the book of Philippians. And so we should note that Jesus has also come to the earth. What is the question? Why does God not come to the earth? Well, God came to the earth in the Old Testament. He came in the person of Jesus. And we will note this, that He's coming back again. And that's what the Bible teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 through 17. There the Apostle Paul writes, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And so He's coming back again to take us home, to be with Him in eternity. Paul also writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in about verse 8, that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So He's coming back again, and those who believe in Him are going to admire Him on that day when He comes back again. And so God has come to the earth in several different instances. In the Old Testament, God has come to the earth in the form of Jesus the Christ, and God is coming back again in the person of Jesus to take everyone to heaven and to the great judgment day. But I believe the questioner has something a little different in mind than those answers. All right? And so let's explore a little bit further. Maybe the questioner has in mind, well, why doesn't God come to earth today? You know, why isn't God here right now? You know, well, the answer to that question is He is here right now. God is present and with us even at this very moment. Think about what Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 teaches, that there's one God and one Father of all. Now listen, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now if that doesn't teach that God is right here with us right now, I don't know what teaches it. Because He's above all and through all and in you all. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have." Now listen to this. "For He hath said," that is the Lord God, "He hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." You see, God's with us. He's here. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's here right now. And so He is with us. He sees everything we do, and He knows everything that we go through. Turn over to Psalm 139 and verses 7 through 12 for a moment, and listen to what the psalmist has to say about the presence of God. Psalm 139 and verses 7 through 12. It's a beautiful passage, a wonderful one to read. It's so comforting to know this. Psalm 139, starting in verse 7. The psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." And so you see, God is everywhere. And He's here right now. He's with us. He knows what's going on. He knows what's in our hearts. There's not a word that we can think, not a thought that we can have that is hidden from Him. In fact, go back to verses 1 and following. "Oh Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Yes, God is right here. And He loves us. He wants to be with us. And He wants to take care of us. But maybe the questioner doesn't have that in mind either. Maybe the questioner is thinking, well, why doesn't God come to earth right now and show himself personally to us so that we can see him with our five senses and touch him and hug him and get to know him the way we know other people? Why doesn't he do that? Maybe that's what the questioner has in mind. And maybe that's what the questioner originally intended. And the only answer that I know to give to that is that God wants us to have faith in him, not in our five senses. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Remember that passage we just read a moment ago in Luke chapter 16 and verse 31, when Abraham was talking to the rich man, and he said to the rich, and the rich man was saying, "But if you send somebody back from the dead, they're going to believe." You see, because if they can just see it with their own eyes and feel it with their hands, if that happens, then people will believe, you see. Now listen to what Abraham said. He said this: "If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Now think about that for a moment. Jesus did rise from the dead. He did come back from the dead. And he did other miracles and brought back people back from the dead. And there's still people who don't believe. Now God just wants us to have faith in him. He wants us to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And so we need to put our faith and trust in him. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Based upon hearing the word of God, we can believe in God and we can act upon that faith by believing in him, by repenting of our sins for the times of ignorance God once winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. By confessing Jesus, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. By being baptized into Christ, we can become Christians. And we can put our faith in him. And we can walk by faith, not by sight. You see, that's what God wants. He wants us to believe. Would you believe this very hour if you're not a Christian? Put him on in baptism tonight. Identify with Christ and be one with him. Have you been living faithfully to him? Have you been walking by faith and not by sight? Oh, if you haven't, turn back to him today, because the day is coming in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherever he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Remember, when Christ returns, it's not going to be for salvation, but it will be for judgment. And that will be the day when he comes with his angels in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to those who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why not obey the gospel tonight while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement?